Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hello, Brains. How are you? We have a very touching story that one of my sister friends, LaDonna Lee, that I met, is going to share with us here on the Edge. Brains is very compelling, so please, we're going to be as sensitive as possible with this, but I think that is a powerful story that needs to be shared with some glorious attributes to her and the work that she's doing in the end. LaDonna Lee is in the studio with me today, and her story is very compelling. She lost two of her children in a fire. I can't even imagine. You know, I asked myself, how would I recover if my home was set ablaze and I had two young children caught up in the flames? How do I begin to extinguish the pain in my head and in my heart? Well, LaDonna has done that by opening a hydrant of love in her home and flooding other women with support and love when they are experiencing and going through devastating pain. So I want us to get ready for this because it is going to be a very emotional show. I want to welcome to the Edge, LaDonna Lee. Hey, sister, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm doing well.
Well, thank you so much for coming and sharing your story with us here on the Edge. I have a lot of compelling stories in our repertoire and our previous episodes of people that have really been through some things that we didn't think that we would be able to survive, but they are here to tell the tale, and they are survivors and they're warriors, and you're one of them. Can you tell us a little bit about you and about your life there in Sacramento, California?
I can. I'm a Sacramento native. I'm born and raised here. I've lived other places, but I always tend to come back home. I lived in St. Louis, Missouri for a year between 2000 and 2001. I lived in Atlanta, Georgia for a little over a year between 2014 and 2015, but I always come back home.
I've never been to Sacramento, and I live right here in California. Now, I've been up to Oakland to do some spoken word poetry in San Francisco and all that kind of stuff, but I've never been to Sacramento. What is it about Sacramento that you like?
I always say my favorite thing about Sacramento is it's a city between two rivers. There's a lot of natural beauty here in the valley. We are about an hour and a half from San Francisco Bay and the ocean. We're about 2 hours from the mountains in South Lake Tahoe and Reno, Nevada. So in this valley, there's a lot of natural beauty, a lot of access to outdoor adventures and sporting and stuff like that. So what I like the most is the landscape. It's not a real hip metropolitan, so to speak, but we
right.
have our pockets. We have our music scene and our on the edge or innovative restaurants. And now they just built this real state of the art Golden One Arena, and we're bringing in more talent, more sporting events,
good.
Stuff like that.
So that's
so it's growing.
Great. So fast forwarding, bring us up to date as to what happened and what you experienced, you and your family, on December 1st, 2015, with the loss of your children in the fire.
All right. So December 1st, about 3:13 a.m., my phone rings, and I have this old Motorola with this really loud ring because I'm good for misplacing my phone. So 3:13 a.m., this blaring ringtone wakes me up out of my sleep. I answer the phone, and it's I called her my baby mama because my ex-husband had children with another woman, and we were friends. So my baby mama calls, and I'm answering the phone, and she's screaming. She's screaming and crying in the phone. LaDonna, it's an emergency. You have to get over here. LaDonna, it's an emergency. You have to get over here. And I'm asking her, what's wrong? It's an emergency. You got to go to dad's. It's an emergency. You got to go to dad's. And I said, well, slow down. Are my kids okay? She says, no, they're not okay, and she hangs up. So now my heart is beating. I'm sitting up in the bed in the dark, trying to orient myself and figure out what's going on. I call her back, and she's still screaming. Call them at this number, and she gives me a number. I hang up. I dial that number. He answers the phone. I say hello. He says they gone, LaDonna. E-Ray and Israel, they dead. They gone. He said that over and over and over. And I just kept saying, okay. And I'm paralyzed. I'm sitting in the dark trying to understand what is going on at this moment.
Now, how old were they?
My son Israel was 6 at the time. My daughter E-Ray was 11.
Wow. So what was the cause of the fire? What happened?
According to the official fire investigation and the final report, there were two possible causes of one was an unattended candle. The other possible cause was an overloaded power strip. So there was no definitive cause. It was two possible causes.
You know, my niece is bad about that all the time. They want to have that ambiance. They want to have that sex appeal. They want to have those candles are really, really dangerous. And you walk out and you don't even think about it, you know. And also power strips, they're overloaded. Or when you're looking at your cord on your cell phone, I encourage people to always check those cords, because if it's bent or it's frayed, it will cause a spark. And if you touch it, even if you touch the plug when it's coming out of the wall, you'll feel how warm it is. It's really generating a lot of heat. So fast forwarding, you experienced this, and I know that it's devastation. Was there anyone else in the house with them?
Yes, so they were... I was away from home with my oldest daughter, and the children were at their father's. It was his home, and we were in that reconciliation, let's see how we're going to manage the co-parent kind of stage.
Right.
And I had just moved back from Atlanta. The kids had been with him for the summer, and I had just come back from Atlanta about a month before the fire happened. So I was in between places. So I was, you know, at my mom's, at friends, staying at his house sometimes. But all of the children, all four of our children were staying with him. But my oldest daughter had left with me on that particular night. So
take your time.
I just lost my train of thought. So okay. at any rate, everyone... We were all staying with him for ease of the conversation. So we were all staying there. And that night, my oldest daughter and I had left. And my oldest son was there, his girlfriend, our two youngest children, one of his sons with another mother, and he had a roommate. So there were
almost
four
adults.
Yeah. Four adults and three children in the home at the time of the fire.
And everyone was able to get out except for your two children, the two smaller children?
Yeah, because of the way the home is designed.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those, it was a three-bedroom home that had an additional studio-sized bedroom built over the garage. So the house had an additional had an add-on staircase and a bedroom over the garage, and the the dad and the kids were in that upstairs bedroom over the garage. My son and his girlfriend were in a first floor bedroom, and the fire broke out somewhere in the living room. So
living room was downstairs.
Yes. So the way they explained it to me was, by the time they realized that the house was on fire, there was too much smoke and fire in the hallways. My son and his girlfriend exited out of a window in their bedroom and ended up in the backyard of the house. Dad said he ran down the stairs, and he thought that all of the three children that were in the bedroom with him, he thought that the children were behind him when he came down the stairs. And when he realized they were not behind him, he was already outside trying to get the water hose to extinguish the fire. And what some of the firemen explained to me is that in that attempt to go out the front door and get the water hose, opening the front door introduced oxygen to the flame.
Right.
And that's when my son said he heard an explosion. Mm-hmm. And that's when he was at the back of the house trying to put out the fire, and he said there was an explosion, and that's when he jumped away from the back door and then ran around to the front of the house.
And you said that there was only two children that were lost. You said there was three children, but you only lost your two children there. The other child survived.
Yeah, the other child jumped out of the second story window.
So now, after you kind of come from out of the numbness of all of this, I don't even know where to begin. You know, where do you begin? What do you do? How do you look at your life? How do you assess what happened? Is there guilt? I know that there's an enormous amount of pain. You know, how do you start to restructure your life after something like this?
That's the question I ask myself at least three times a week. I'm constantly asking myself, how do I structure my life? We all have our styles and the way we respond to things. And my crisis response, for better or for worse, my crisis response is to calm down. So the more elevated a situation gets, the calmer I get. And that has served me in some ways, and in other ways it makes me feel a little bit stunted. I feel like I'm still numb in some ways, and that I still have not thoroughly grieved this tragic experience. I feel like I'm kind of caught in this trauma loop sometimes, because when it gets to that heightened state where people might expect a mom to just throw herself on the floor and scream and wail and roll around, I can't get there. So initially my response was, like I told you, I just kept saying okay. Then I had to tell my daughter, she was 14 at the time, I had to tell her what happened to her baby brother and her baby sister. And we sat quietly. We sat quietly on the couch and cried. Like, there was no wailing. There was no screaming. And after a few hours, we went over to the house to, you know, to be with the rest of our family and to check on my oldest son. And the whole time I moved, the house was on a cul-de-sac. So I moved through that court just checking on all of my family members. Other people are crying and wailing and falling on each other, and I'm moving around like the trauma nurse, just making sure everybody is okay, making sure everybody's still standing. And that's been the way that I've been responding to my life, and it'll get me so far, and then the pain will hit me, and then I can't. It's almost like I'll go through this mini period of feeling catatonic. So there's like a Saturday I just can't get out the bed. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
I know.
It's kind of hard to explain.
Well, there could never be any explanation. You know. No one could ever feel like you feel. No one could ever go through that. I mean, that is just, it's deafening. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to respond. You know, are tears going to you know, comfort you? Are tears going to make it better? Are they going to bring your children back? No. But if you don't do that, then there's a certain amount of, you know, grief that we feel that we have not exuded. So it's difficult. Is the kid's father okay? I know it was very traumatic for him as well, being there, doing the best that he can to put the fire out, thinking that he's doing the right thing. Is he doing okay?
From what I understand, he's doing okay. Our communication started to break down after the first year. You know, in that first year after the fire, we didn't live together, and we hadn't really been in a relationship for a while. Like I said, we were trying to figure out how to co-parent and how to a family, whether we were going to continue our own personal relationship. And
right.
After the fire, there were times when, like, we were the only, you know, when you're the parent who lost the child, the only other person who can feel what you're going through is that other parent who lost those same children, you know. But after a while, it got too hard for us to interact with each other. So I haven't talked to him much in the last couple of years.
Well, we send him love and light, and we honor you for what you do. So I know that as a professional career, you work with black mothers in attempt to working with them to help them reunify their family after the children have been taken away by CPS. Child Protective Services. Tell us a little bit about what that has done and how that is helping you cope, as well as your tragedy that you're able to share and pour into these women about what you've been through and really valuing and honoring their family and trying to get their head around getting their family back together.
You know, April, I've been a champion for women my whole life. I have a twin sister, and I have a younger sister who's 2 years younger than us. And when we were growing up, sisterhood meant everything. Like, we would get in trouble for telling on each other. And I say that as a preface because I want to get across to the brains that supporting and advocating for women has been what my entire existence has been about. So when I had the opportunity to interview for a position as an advocate for other women, I was tickled because to me it's something I do for free. So to be employed to stand next to a woman who's experiencing some type of trauma and to be there to support her, to advocate for her, to speak when she can't, is everything to me. It gives me a sense of purpose. And being able to, and because of my loss, I'm softened to their situation. I'm not looking at them with judgment because I know what it feels like, and it makes
right.
it easier for me to relate to them, and it makes it easier for them to relate to me.
You've taken it a step further. You've opened your home. You've opened your home to be a refuge for. Place of solace, a place of conversation, a place of comfort, emotional support. Tell us a little bit about the in-home program that you work to support other women that are going through trauma such as this after experiencing devastating pain and loss.
Yeah, I would love to. I would love to talk about that. I have a special relationship with the praying mantis insect. At different times in my life, when I'm moving real fast or trying to start a whole bunch of projects, I can think of specific times when I would just be walking and fully in thought, just running 5,000 thoughts through my mind, and this little insect will cross my path and make me stop and stand still and admire its stillness. So I took on this... So I started developing this relationship and considered the mantis to be one of my totem animals. And as a woman, I'm really, really connected to the cycles of the moon because I believe that the moon represents feminine energy. As an earthling, the moon is feminine to me. So I had
too.
This idea,
I'm really affected by the moon. Go in a full moon,
right?
Girl, please.
Right.
I don't know what's going on. I'd be like looking up at the sky. I was like, oh, it's only popping now.
Yes, I've always been a moon watcher. My children are moon watchers, so the mantis and the moon are two major symbols for me, and I put that together and created a business name. So I have this little side business I call Mantis Moon, and I'm bringing that up because as I started to look for a way to put myself up and to share with other women. Those two images, the mantis and the moon, kept coming back to me. And I set up what I call the Mantis Moon Temple, which is that refuge place for women who are recovering from some type of trauma, who are looking for a way to heal their hearts. And I developed the Mantis Moon Temple because when I got that phone call, and I had to go through the next 2-3 days of sitting with family members, children, talking to chaplains, talking to coroners, like just this surreal situation that I never would have imagined myself in. When it got to be too much, I wanted to run away. There was nowhere I could go. I couldn't go home. I didn't have no home to go to. I had no room to go to where I could close my door. I go to my mother's house. My mother is devastated. My sister was overseas. There was nowhere that I could go. I thought about checking into a hotel, but I didn't have the money for that. I thought about going to a silent yoga retreat, but I didn't have the money for that. I wanted to go somewhere and just be able to be with myself and what was happening, and there was nowhere to go. And that was the motivation for me to open the Mantis Moon Temple, because I want there to be some place for women like me who feel like I just need somebody else to understand what this feels like. I need to be able to go somewhere and sit there. And if I need to be quiet, I can be quiet. If I need to scream, I can scream. When there's no judgment, but there is a woman there who knows what's happening inside my heart. And so that's why I opened up my home. That's why I started to host what I call the Sacred Sister Circle, so that women could know that we're here, that they're not alone in this.
And tell us some of the services that you provide in the Mantis Moon Temple and your Sister Circle.
Right now, we just gather. We gather, we talk. And we commune with each other. I am something of a spiritualist. I have been initiated into a traditional African system, but that's not the focus. That's not the center of what we do at the Mantis Moon Temple. What we do here is we really just hold space for each other. Now, I do have ideas on how we can grow that support group and workshops and different programs, but that's something that's in the making. Right now, we just exist to hold space for each other.
Well, you know, that's what we do here on The Edge. So I need you to, right now, put a call out in the name of your children on things that you want in 2019 to manifest there at the Mantis Moon Temple. Give me 2 or 3 things that you want to happen. I got big brains that be listening. You never know what'll manifest, but you can't get it without making the ask. So what are 2 or 3 things that you could use right now to make your space comfortable, welcoming, warming? Is it money? Is it resources? Is it programs? Is it speakers? Is it a place for you to actually have a building outside of where you currently are? Speak to me.
I say, you know what, April, right now I host the Sacred Sister Circle in my home, which I love doing. I like to have women here in my space, in where it feels intimate. At the same time, I have a reservation about reaching out to people because I have to put my home address on Facebook, public events on Facebook, you know. So what I would like to see in the near future, I would like to have a place outside of my home where we can gather. I would definitely like to have that. And I would also like to host workshops that focus on PTSD on what happens post-trauma and what grief recovery is, what the process is, what the timeline can be for some women, just being able to have workshops that really address all of the emotional, mental, psychological consequences and the after effects when we've experienced a tragedy. So definitely widen my network, connect with more people, find a place outside my home.
Okay, brains, I'm putting the call out. Y'all know how I roll. I'll be serious about mine. Thank you so much, LaDonna Lee, for everything, even for your sacrifice. To whom much is given, much is required, and it was not done in vain. I lift you in love. I lift you in light. I'm there sitting in the crescent moon with you, my sister. I thank you so much for coming here and sharing your story with us on the edge. And I do see a blessing. I got a little insight. I got a little glow in my eye, and I know that there's going to be something that's going to wonderful that's going to happen. So thank you again for contacting me and me connecting with you and you being here on the edge and sharing your story. I know it was hard. I'm sitting here wiping the tears away from my eyes as well. But it's all good, okay? It's all good.
All right.
I wish
thank
you a happy
you so
2019.
Much.
All right?
Thank
you want to tell
peace
my brains
blessings.
How to get in contact with you if they want to, you know, connect with you? Because we can't just leave it out there. They got to be a way to filter that through to you.
You can find me on Facebook, LaDonna Lee. You can find me on, I have a business page on Facebook, the Mantis Moon Temple, and I'm also on IG, Mantis Moon Temple.
All right, brains, hold on tight. Be careful. Put the candles out. Watch your plugs. Have an exit plan for your family so everybody gets out safely. Fire is nothing to play with. Thank you so much again, LaDonna. I love you, sister. I'm watching you.
All right, thank you. Much love. Thank you. Peace and blessings.